This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello and welcome to the Two Robbies podcast, your destination for in-depth discussion and analysis of the Premier League and the Champions League. I'm Robbie Musto, he's Robbie Earle. Today is our first recap episode of the 2022-23 season, and here are today's topics. A nightmare start for Manchester United and Erik ten Hag, plus what's next for Ronaldo. Liverpool drop points at Craven Cottage against the feisty Fulham. Erling Haaland's dream debut for Man City with a brace at West Ham. Arsenal, Spurs and Chelsea all start the campaign with 3 points apiece, and surprisingly great openers from Leeds and Bournemouth. All that and more in today's episode.
That's right, Musty, and because the Premier League is back, so is your chance to win $50,000, play Premier League Pick'em for free, and you can become the next big winner. Download the NBC Sports Predictor app today, available in the App Store or Google Play Store. And we're going to start, mate, just before we kick off, just to let our viewers and listeners know, I'm over in England at the moment. I was over for a family wedding, so I missed the first weekend back in the studio with you guys, but obviously was catching up on things over here. And I just thought it was important to say, Rob, you know, because often we live in the US and we know how much football means there and how, you know, everybody looks forward to the season. I can't believe how many people have said, so great the season started this weekend. So great that the football's back. So great that my weekends can become back to normal and we've got things to look at and stories. And I think sometimes in the US we feel as though, you know, we've got them 1,000 miles away and we're very different. But there is absolutely no difference. The English fans and the American fans just love this game very much on the same level.
Absolutely right. And the excitement level is fever pitch over here, of course. Of course, we sit here recording this podcast, Rob, after the final game. And it's, you know, it's a long weekend. It's a tiring weekend.
Yeah.
But I tell you what, it never disappoints. And we've got a ton of things to talk about. Interesting things, new things, things that didn't change that much. Some interesting results and some great performances. But let's start, Rob. And you know, it's sometimes tough to know where to start our podcast and what we should lead with. And it's kind of based on story and what the biggest impact is. And it's got to be Manchester United, Rob. And you know, it's, of course, with Erik ten Hag, his first game in charge, official game in the Premier League of Manchester United. We know that it's going to be a difficult job, a long job. We know that the environment around Erik ten Hag isn't ideal. We know that ten Hag is... seems to be a really good type of guy, fresh ideas, not a young manager, but a guy that's discipline based, that can make get the best out of this this group. But this was a nightmare beginning, Rob. They lost a game 1-0. Pascal Gross scored a goal on 30 minutes and scored a goal on 39th minute. United were better in the second half, Rob. They got a scrappy own goal from Alexis McAllister to make it 2-1, but didn't have him. Ronaldo came on late as well. Well, not late. He came on in the second half, early on the second half, to try and make a difference. But it didn't work out for them. You start where you want to start, Rob, whether it's bigger picture, whether it's the game. But no question. I mean, there are protests before the game again. But wow, I mean, a team and a club that you honestly hope starts the thing turns around also has, again, had a nightmare start.
Yeah, and we're starting with Manchester United, Rob, because they're the biggest club in England. And quite rightly, they've signed a top-class European-proven manager. I thought, and I can talk personally and talking to a few people, I think there was a little bit of excitement around the football club, Rob, that this guy's come in. Pre-season's pre-season, but they had a decent pre-season. Beat Liverpool 4-0, albeit it was against Liverpool kids, but have won games. We've all seen clips, YouTube moments where training hasn't gone as well as he'd like and he's getting into players and you're thinking, Yeah, that's good. Maybe they need a little bit of that. The organisation that this football club needs. I think there was a feeling at home to Brighton, good chance to start well and kick off the rain, Rob.
Yeah.
So all the optimism was in the ground until the first whistle went. From the moment the whistle went on, I can't tell you, Rob, it was very different. There was no press. There's no organisation. There's no team understanding against a Brighton team who are the exact opposite. Well coached, well organised, know what they're doing, can play in different systems. And my biggest excitement, Rob, was that when I looked at Ten Hag, I thought he seems to be one of those coaches who can get more out of players. You know, Dusan Tadic he took from Southampton, turned him into a guy who was, you know, killing it in the Champions League. So my view was, well, United aren't going to be brilliant, and we talked about our preview where we thought they may finish. I still think they'll be outside the top four. But I'm thinking better players, the Sanchos, the Rashfords, the Brunos, Ericsson's in there. These are good enough players, Rob, for this team to look way, way better. Was I wrong? Is this group of players just not good enough? Is that the bottom line? This group of players are not good
100%.
Enough. Doesn't matter who you put in the coach.
100%. 100%. And listen, there are players that, given other good players that come into side, that you'll see better moments from. I can't look past a midfield. And I try my hardest to look past Freddie McTominay. I try my hardest because, you know, quite honestly, I was that type of player as those guys. I'd win the ball. I'd keep it very simple in possession. For the level that I was at in my team in the Premier League, that was fine and that was good and it worked out. But a club like Manchester United, you've got to have...
But that's why
we
played for Middlesbrough and Wimbledon, Rob, not Manchester United. In fairness,
exactly.
Though, that's exactly the reason. Let's be honest about
yeah.
it.
And they've got two Middlesbrough players playing in their midfield in Fred and McTominay. Yeah. They gave the ball away.
They might struggle to get in the Middlesbrough team.
Yeah, they gave the ball away so many times. It stops everything. Number one, it stops a ball. It stops continuity in possession. Number two, it stops getting the ball to the front players that rely right on those central midfield players. I'm talking about Sancho and Marcus Rashford to get some possession of the ball, let alone Christian Eriksen, who started as a false nine. And also, it obviously, when you give the ball away, that's turnovers. That's transition.
Yeah.
And as we know in football, that's when goals are scored. And that's what happened on the first goal with McTominay made a decision to try and run between players. He gives a ball away, counter-attack, a little bit out of position defensively. Wasn't great defending again. Goal scored. They get caught for the second goal, way down the other end. It's exactly the same as last year. And it's so frustrating to watch it. I know what if the Man United player fans feel like, Rob, because I get what you say, the encouragement, the excitement, the enthusiasm of the new coach. Yes, there's a cloud. Ronaldo, we talked about it in our preview, but he was sat down. He looked like he was on the bench. It was the correct call. He hasn't played enough football. But to start that way and to go two goals down, makes the fans like, well, here we go again. Let me ask you a question, Robin. It's something that you said at the start there. I think he potentially can make these players better. So is that the main avenue that he's got to go down to improve this team? Or, which I believe, he's got to rattle cages in the boardroom and with the ownership to say, and I can't believe what I've just... I'm trying to stop saying it, the news piece that we'll get to in a minute, Rob, about who they've just been linked with and made a bid for.
Yeah.
But he's got to rattle the cages of the ownership and the board of directors to say, we need more quality. This is Manchester United.
Yeah.
We need more quality. That's what stuck for me, Rob, was like the quality of the football and the players is nowhere near what it should be.
100% right. There were times, Rob, when they were playing out the back and it was obvious he's trying to instill a way for them to build from the back securely and keep possession. The players, A, couldn't do it. B, at times looked scared to go and get the ball up. There was a few who didn't want it a few times. And we've all played in teams when you look up and the guy goes, oh, a bit closer to the opposition so he can't get the ball. There was players who didn't want to do that. Now, to answer your question, I'm going to put it back in a question. And tell me if I'm right or wrong. Tell me if I'm going down the wrong street. When Danny Welbeck looks a better player than Jadon Sancho and Marcus Rashford, is that good coaching, Rob? When the team that you look that Brighton have got, is that better coaching from Graham Potter?
Yeah,
is that not having the pressure of being a Manchester United player with all that comes with it? Or Are some of these players just not good enough? Are we matching those players up to Brighton players, and they're not really as good as we think they are?
It's a tough answer, Rob, because I think most people would believe that Marcus Rashford is a better footballer than Danny Welbeck, and same with Jadon Sancho. Sancho is a $100 million signing.
But
the way you phrase it at the start there, saying, you know, as if the coach is to blame for not getting the best out of them.
It's
a bit early yet for us to...
Yeah, of course.
Do you know what I mean?
He's been working 3 or 4 weeks with them. But we all know there's a player in Jadon Sancho. We've all seen there's a great player in Marcus Rashford. But we can't keep saying that. We can't give Sancho a season and say, OK, it's taken him a year to get him things on. Some point, Rob, it's got to start to come, especially when you pay $100 million for somebody.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to say it one more time. When you've got the suppliers to get the ball to Sancho, Fred McTominay and Diego Dalo, very important fullbacks in terms of their possession. I think Luke Shaw is a good enough player. Mm. You know, so I think I just can't get excited about this team until they start bringing new players in. I'm going to say it right now, Rob. There's a report on Sky Sports that Manchester United have had a bid rejected somewhere around, I think, £8 or 9 million. For Marco Arnautovic, 32-year-old striker, formerly in the Premier League with West Ham and Stoke City. Now, can you even fathom the frustration with Manchester United fans that have watched Erling Haaland, Darwin Nunez, Gabriel Jesus, Raheem Sterling, Matt Skamaka, I mean, other good forward players moved around, and they're looking to bring in Marco Arnautovic. I think that just about... And now, if that's the manager, Rob, that's Erik ten Hag, which I think it is, by the way, you know, because I think he worked with him at FC 20.
And he's basically
saying, you know what, for a cut-price option, we could... Well, first, you know, like, so that... So,
well, does... I hear where you're going, and I get your angst, but maybe he thinks he can rely more on Arnautovic with his ability, and he's not going to press as well, and blah, 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 than he's getting out of some of the players who are in the football club, Rob. That's where Manchester United are. If you know, you don't get linked to Marco Arnautovic, you don't get bought with him if you're Man City, if you're Liverpool, if you're Spurs, if you're Chelsea. Maybe if you're Arsenal. But Rob, right now, Manchester United are where they are.
Listen, Ten Hag's job is to coach a team, and it sounds like he's managing too. He's asking players, well, these Dutch players coming in. Now, the more players that come in, right, that's obviously under his recommendation. So, Malacia, certainly the fullback, Christian Eriksen, probably. Lissandro Martinez, that should have given a penalty give away today when he pushed
Welbeck
in the back that looked like a, you know. Mm. These are his calls, by the way. These are his calls. And if he brings in Marco Arnautovic and it doesn't look good, then all of a sudden, hang on, Mr. Ten Hag, I don't care how early it is. And is this the sort of player that you feel is right for this club? Unless the hierarchy, there isn't any money. Maybe it's just not, there's no money to spend.
Yeah, well, one of the Glazers was there today, Bob.
Yeah.
I mean, what was they think on the first day? You know, everybody's up for a game. Everybody's thinking, you know, this is a new start. And it's not. Well, maybe he feels Arnautovic might be a 12-month solution to get him where they are.
And well, like Cavani and Falcao and all the other old players that they've
had. Down that route.
Right. Listen, we should move on to Brighton a little bit, Robin.
We should move on. And give Brighton a little bit of credit. And
They beat
Manchester United 4-0 last season, Rob. I think it was at the start of May. So I don't know why we're so surprised. Graham Potter continues to do what he does with players who are not at that top level. He's got an Arnautovic type in Danny Welbeck, who's left Manchester United how long ago? And still looks like he was one of the best forwards out on the pitch there today.
Yeah.
A lot of credit to them and what he does.
Yeah, it's brilliant. I mean, we talked about it on air today, Rob, and I think I made the point, Graham Potter, you know, he's lost his two of his best players in Basuma and Cucurella.
And yet
can still bring in excellent players.
Salcedo, the kid in midfield.
By the way, going to be a winner. going to be an absolute winner. Moises Caicedo, 20 years of age, Ecuadorian player. They've got a very good link with South America. There's many South American players coming, younger kids, and they look like players. He's done it again with Caicedo. I mean, Graham Potter, like, he's good to go. Sorry, Brighton fans, but I'd chuck him in. I wouldn't be afraid to recruit him at the top six clubs. I think he's shown now over a period of time, entertaining football on a budget, good recruitment, entertaining and winning football from a team like Brighton. That's pretty impressive. So well done. And we say it every time. Great. I mean, they finished ninth last year. I mean, how do they beat that?
The new Brendan Rodgers, mate, is a new hot English coach in the league. Yeah. And well done, Brighton. Yeah. I'm afraid for Manchester United. Another difficult day. It looks like it could be another difficult season, but we're only one game in, so let's see how things...
Dietz and Watson's been making meats and cheeses the right way since forever. What's that mean? It means never cutting corners, ever. It means cooking, not processing. It means our Virginia brand ham that's cooked to perfection, then twice baked to layer the flavors. It takes more time, but you can taste the difference. We come to work every day to do it the right way, even if it's the hard way. Because if it's not right for us, it's not right for you. Dietz and Watson, it's a family thing since 1939.
So let's move it on, my friend.
Yep.
Let's move it to Fulham, Liverpool. Craven Cottage, Fulham back promoted into the league. Liverpool looking to go one place better than they finished last year and finished top of the pile. It was a Liverpool team, Rob, we saw come out of the Community Shield firing, looked up for things, got goals, team shape looked well. And I know you for certain were saying they look hungry, they look about it. This was a bit damp. This didn't quite go to plan. And even Jurgen Klopp said, you know, he was fine with the performance. They deserved about a point, but he said, the performance was very improvable.
Yeah, I just, of all the games of this weekend, I might be the most surprised at this game and at this performance from Liverpool. With no real drive, with energy, with creativity. It smacked of a complacency, Rob, I've got to say, which I think we can probably count on one hand the times in all the years he's been there that Liverpool looked complacent. They looked casual. It's Fulham. You know, they've come back up again. It's Craven Cottage. We've both played there, Rob, many times.
Yeah.
It's not a difficult place in terms of environment to go and play the football. That's what it looked like to me. And of course, when you start that way, it's difficult to kind of get out of that rut. And fair play to Fulham and Mark and Alexander Mitrovic. What a game he had! Like, you know, superb game. But Liverpool's kind of demeanour and drive was maybe the most surprising thing I saw this weekend.
Yeah, I think Jurgen Klopp was as surprised as you, mate. I think he was a little bit taken aback by that. I've been seeing what we saw last week. I've been they were first out. Yeah, they were first off the blocks. They go and get, you know, looking to get up 3 points and stake their stake in going for this year's title. Yeah, they just didn't quite look up. I say they looked more up for the Community Shield than they did for the first game in the Premier League, which is a bit worrying. And you say it's not a team that ever been complacent. I've always felt they're one of the hardest working teams with great players who put the effort in. It just didn't quite seem the same, but that probably isn't doing Fulham a good enough favour. I thought Fulham were excellent.
Yeah, well,
I thought they were absolutely brilliantly set up.
Yeah.
I thought their aggression, their closing, Rob, their interceptions, their understanding of where they were in relation to each other. I thought they were a threat. The wide players stopped the fullbacks getting forward. Mitrovic gave Van Dijk and Matip a difficult game.
Yeah.
Not only his goals, but his hold-up play.
Yeah.
I thought it was an excellent, excellent performance by Fulham. And Fulham deserved some credit on that. It wasn't just how bad that Liverpool were. They came maybe with not a great attitude, but Fulham were about them. They had made it difficult. They put their foot in. They were aggressive. And I thought we're well worthy of their point.
And do you know what? You know, I'm big enough to hold my hands up and say I didn't think they had that in them. I looked at the lineup, Rob, and I know the midfield is different. I like the look of Andres Pereira for Manchester United. Palhinha, is really, really good.
He's another one, isn't he?
Ball winning. So those two apart, I looked at the team before the game and I said, Yeah, kind of looks similar. You got Mitrovic, you got Cabano, you got Cordova Reeve, you got Robinson, Ream, Tosin, Tete. Yeah. You know, all kind of the same similar team that was here last time and didn't do well enough. So they certainly showed me on that and put me in my place because it was hardworking, organised, with creativity. Yeah. They could have gone two up against Liverpool even earlier with some of the opportunities that they had. Really great. And well done, Marco Silva. And I know they want extra players. And they've got to continue this. They've got Wolves away next weekend, Rob. But what a good start for Fulham. What a good start for the whole team and club to believe that they can stay in the division.
Absolutely. And I know we do our underappreciated performer of the weekend. It was Marco Silva was close on my list, by the way.
He didn't win it,
but what a good start for a team that, you know, I know a few Fulham fans are saying, oh, we've got Liverpool first game, you know, what start are we going to get? You know, he set his team up well. I thought they were really aggressive. I always felt with Fulham teams at times, they're a bit soft and they're a bit nice. They didn't look anything like that at the weekend. And Marco Silva's another who people have said, well, is he really top-drawer manager? We've seen him at Hull. We've seen him at Everton. We've seen him at Watford. You know, this is another chance for him to stake his claim and shows that he's, he's another one. I think he's a really good coach in there, and this might be the year he can show. Well, so yeah, well done for Fulham.
Let me just give him one last shout. So also for Marcus, remember he took Everton to eighth place, by the way, which obviously on the, you know, is pretty good. Two players, Rob. Before we move on, I just want to get your take because one's a pretty simple one. Darwin Nunez comes on again, scores
Darwin
a goal.
Nunez,
I think he's going to be a star. I think he's going to get a lot of goals. And I know we've talked about this player before, Rob, but again, I just want to get Trent Alexander-Arnold was well beaten at the back post for that goal. Now there's many times when we talk about this, the Champions League final, he got caught out of that position. Is there one question when we move on? Is there an argument that Liverpool could be better, safer defensively with three centre backs and Alexander-Arnold and Robertson playing as wing backs? Do you push Trent forward and let just give up? Get some extra defensive you know, insurance, Rob, in that with a right-centered centre back of three, because I think is something that the manager should consider.
But you kind of lose a man out further up the pitch, don't you, Rob? If you're going to play that way,
yes. But you allow Trent to stay higher.
The way they played and the intensity that they play on, I think it's more of the point, Rob. My answer would be, Trent's got to become a better fullback.
Well, how long are you going to say that for? How long are you going to say that for?
I'm going to say it until he becomes a better fullback, because the things he does wrong are not things you can't learn. The things he doesn't do. I mean, this guy is an exceptional footballer, can do almost anything in the game. At times, he doesn't read danger enough.
Right.
At times, he doesn't. And so he's got to learn that, Rob. But for me, that's what I'm saying. Because I don't think the three will work for Liverpool. I don't think Liverpool can play with that same intensity and that same press from a three. I think that extra man in midfield gives them that, and the three players up front.
But I
wanted to mention Nunez, because I just think he's going to be a goal scorer, mate. His movement in and around the box looks exceptional. He's got a bit of the, and I don't want to throw it to the Fernando Torres about him.
Yeah, I've said that.
Kind of makes dirty runs.
Yeah. Sharp, quick.
Makes a bit of that.
Yeah.
And big Mitrovic on the other end. 27 years of age, Mitrovic.
Right.
Said he was in the same year at school as I was, and he's 27, and I'm 50-odd. I don't know how that's worth, but anyway. Good luck to him. Keeps scoring goals. He's got a couple of goals already. Well done, Fulham. Great result at the weekend. Let's move it to West Ham and Manchester City, my friend, because again, we were talking about a Man City team that didn't look great in the Community Shield, that they had a certain expensive forward who missed a couple of chances, and people were saying, well, is he going to be the guy? 2-0. Pretty comfortable against West Ham United. Two goals for Erling Haaland. Manchester City again stake their claim as the team to beat. What would you take off from this one?
I thought they were mightily impressive. Mightily impressive, Rob. I mean, talk about control the game. Talk about slowly almost paralyse their opponents with football and possession. There's two points I want to talk about with this game, Rob. I mean, one's the tactical side of things were Walker and Cancelo playing like central midfield players, both of them at the same time. So if you think about that, that allows De Bruyne and Gundogan, the real number eights, the attacking midfield players, to play super high.
Push forward.
And they are then replaced by those two, Walker and Cancelo. So you end up with a system of two centre-backs, three midfield players and five forwards. That's how they look to play. And West Ham United had no clue, no idea how to stop that. They tried a high press. It didn't work. They pulverised them with possession.
Yeah.
And then the other part, of course, is Erling Haaland, Rob. And what he brought today is... I know what my thoughts are on this player. I said it on the last pod, Rob, that my concern was that Man City's technical football, in, out, cross, back, you know, was gonna have him for large periods not involved. Well, blimmin' heck, from Community Shield to this game, there was a noticeable difference. Number one, when the ball's in wide areas, crosses came in. One was very close to him heading in early on.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the other part of what he needs is the through balls. And you slide the balls in behind because that's his bread and butter. I'd say he scores, what I've seen of his 80-odd goals last year, we're talking 80%, I would say,
that are like,
on the turn, I want to get in there, put it in there. And that's, again, what, and I'll let you get in, Rob, I'm rambling a little bit, but it's one more point before I forget. West Ham United had a period of play when they were down, right, 1-0 down, where, they force Man City back a little bit.
Yeah,
and then, of course, they give the ball away, and then City have an incredible outlet, because when they give it away, you look the other way, De Bruyne gets on it, slides it through to Erling Haaland, and he runs in behind and scores. That makes it so difficult to play against. You're either going to be pinned in, or if you dare try and come out and attack City, if you give the ball away, a transition... then Haaland's going to love the green grass behind your high defensive line with De Bruyne, who looks in great shape. I thought it was blimmin' impressive from City, Rob.
I can't disagree with too much of that. It was almost like, Rob, take a picture of that Kevin De Bruyne on the ball and Erling Haaland making a run. Take a picture of that because you're going to see that 20, 30, 40 times this season, mate. And he ain't going to miss too many when he gets there. As I was watching the game, there was a couple of thoughts. The tactics was, the two fullbacks going in with the two holding, three in front, and then those five pushing on, as you say. I was watching Rice and Suchak, who just didn't know whether to come, whether to run across, whether to go with somebody. Somebody else was picking the ball. I mean, it must be the biggest nightmare. And my thought to that was, Rob, again, we don't give enough credit to Pep Guardiola. He's brought something new, different again to the game, mate. He's come out with the goalkeepers who end up like centre-backs playing out the back. We've had the inverted one full-back. We've had the false nine and one tiles.
He's got double
false
nine.
He's now going with... double false nines with KDB and Foden or Grealish, whatever. Now he's going two full-backs in, behind the two centre-backs, the two midfield players pushed on, we're going to pin you with five. And at the moment, mate, it's like... we don't give him enough credit for what he's doing. He's changing the way we look at the game. He's changing the way the game can be played. He's saying to West Ham, who generally haven't given Man City a decent game in the past, he's saying to West Ham, have a look at this and see how you deal with it. And by the way, he's got this silk purse of a passing team, and he's just put this metal wrecking ball right at the top of it.
I know.
And he's just gone, we got a power game as well if you want it. So we can quick balls in, we can run. I mean, it's incredible. We've got a beast down the middle.
Yeah.
When we've used two false nines coming in and linking the play and spinning the ball, we've now got a geezer who's going to just run through you. It's incredible stuff.
I totally agree, Robert. And remember, this is the first game of the season. Fans at home are always up for it. And they just made their capacity 62,000 people at the London Stadium there, right there. And yet they can silence and pulverise opponents like that. I mean, it is only the first game. And maybe other coaches will figure out ways to stop it. Probably allowing no space in behind for him to run and other ways,
good luck with that.
But I mean, wow, that was some performance, by the way, Robin. Yeah, you know what as well was interesting, right? There was 14 shots from City. They only had two. Talk about efficiency.
Two on target.
They had two on target. A penalty in the goal.
I saw that.
And yet it looked like a game that was so comfortable for them. Good stuff. Good.
It's one thing falling in love with a house, picturing yourself moving in and calling it home, and quite another navigating the world of price negotiating, mortgage lenders, and finding the budget that works best for you. An agent who's a Realtor can make understanding that world easier. Realtors have the expertise, access to proprietary data, and tools to help you get from imagining living somewhere to actually doing it. That's the kind of help we can provide. Because that's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
Stuff.
Absolutely good stuff. Look, okay, let's turn it to Friday night. So I know you had a particular eye on this one. Crystal Palace 0, Arsenal 2. Arsenal having a better Friday night than they did last time around when they remember they got beaten at Brentford in the Community Stadium, and you know, it was an awful performance by Arsenal that night. Very different Arsenal, Rob. Very different feel about the football club. I'm looking forward to seeing Arsenal this year.
Yeah.
I like what I see.
Yeah, well, of course, I got a good look at this one on Friday night, Rob. And three new players, all starters. Zinchenko started left back. Gabriel Jesus, of course, started at centre forward, which we'll talk about. But, and I'm going to go to it straight away, Robbio, my underappreciated performer in week one of this season, this new Premier League season, is William Saliba. William Saliba. If people don't know about him, I don't blame you. He's been on loan in French football last season with Marseille, before that Nice. Yeah. He's only 21 years of age right now. Only 21 years of age. Obviously came into Arsenal and they thought, like, it's going to do him good to go out on loan. Did a great job in French football. He's a French centre-back international, a full international. And he's back at Arsenal. And he's back on the right side of centre-back alongside Gabriel. And he didn't put a foot wrong, Robbie Earl. So, underappreciated. Probably not for very long, because people are already starting to say, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
Maybe we should have had him a little earlier. But he is, I think he's he's way over 6 foot. He's very comfortable on the ball, and he's fast. If you're good on the ball, and you're tall, and you're quick as a central defender, then there ain't much else you need. So I thought he was excellent. He gets my underappreciated performer for this weekend, and exciting for the fans, Robbie Earl, of Arsenal, that all of a sudden, like, wow, this new guy's come in, and he might go on to be one of the best centre-backs in the Premier League this season. Great, great kind of addition to the team.
Good early shout. I mean, I couldn't agree more. I thought he was outstanding, Rob. I thought against the quicker, skillful players, he shows that he's got, you know, good patience, won the ball at times, was physical when he needed to. Gets the bigger centre forwards, Edouard, and players who come on. He dealt with the physicality that they had. He looks like he's a bit of a leader. He likes a tackle.
Yep.
Good athlete. I mean, he's everything that we've kind of thought Arsenal needed. And, you know, they've had him out on loan. Listen, Edu and Mikel Arteta have obviously known about him, have let him get some football. You know, great reputation in French football. And now, absolutely, could be a missing piece for Arsenal. So, brilliant shout. Watch the game Friday, and thought again, like you said, for somebody so young, excellent. Gives them an option if they want to play three at the back, Rob, and wing backs. Ben White, obviously, is playing right back at the moment. The other piece that really I'm kind of really looking forward to seeing is Gabriel Jesus, my friend.
Yep.
As a sort of centre forward, but clever with his positions, and often will drop out into a wide position if he has to. Odegaard sometimes goes through. Well, he's a nice mix of positional play. Obviously, he's played wide positions at City. Arteta knows him. I think he's going to enjoy being the main man, the central striker, the guy who scores goals, got lovely feet. Looks like he's enjoying his football with some young players around him, the Sakas, the Martinellis, Odegaard's around him. He could be a little dark horse for Golden Boot, by the way, if he stays fit.
Yeah.
He could be a little dark horse for the Golden Boot.
Yeah, it would be a dark horse, I think, given some of the other strikers we've got in the league right now. Yeah. But absolutely.
But he's
going
to play most games, isn't he? Yep. And he's going to get chances in this team.
So, but I will say this: it wasn't all perfect for Arsenal, in my opinion.
No.
I didn't think they played particularly well after going ahead. I think
Eze should have scored, shouldn't he? Eze had a great chance for Palace.
Right, Eze had a good chance. And then Edouard had a good header chance early on, Rob.
Yeah,
they could have had two. Yeah. I mean, they're really good chances, like where it was an error not to score, particularly Eze when he goes through one-on-one. So it wasn't a perfect performance. Yeah. They defensively, they should be more secure than that. Possession-wise, they should be keeping the ball better to defend with the ball, like City we've just seen. And I'll tell you where is a potential weakness for me, Rob, and maybe I'm being a little harsh here, being on the first weekend. I thought Thomas Partey and Granit Xhaka, particularly Partey, was poor. was poor in possession, Rob. Was not careful keeping possession. Mm. So when they couldn't control the game through possession, it was the midfield two, in my opinion, that didn't do a good enough job of being busy to get the ball. Let's get it back there and make sure I take care of the ball. There's a pass I'm going to make. We're going to because Palace kind of dominated possession wise. I mean, they didn't score. They should have done. Yeah. But I thought Arsenal, if they want to be where they think they want to be in the Premier League, there's going to be games where they've got to do a better job of controlling the game with possession. And at better teams, Rob, are going to take those chances. That could have been a very different game. Ended up being 2-0. I think it flattered them a little bit with the second goal being an own goal from Gyökeres. But I just want to put it out there. Like,
I think it's first day. I think, you know, we'll look at many of the teams. City didn't dominate the game totally. I also West Ham had a couple of chances. Might have come back into the game. Most of the players are still, I think, scratching for top fitness when you're this early in a season.
Yeah, but a win's a win. I get you. That, but...
Yeah, I hear you. And a win, I think it was, you know, we're going to talk about Chelsea, I think it was Thomas Tuchel, who said, you know, a win gives you confidence as you're building things and getting momentum going. So, listen, this window's still open. I hear your point. But I just still think this Arsenal team, based on the start, remember last season, no one's terrible. Three straight defeats and under pressure and all that. Just think they're in a different place now. And, you know, if those young players can keep producing and keep their sparkle and learn from some of those lessons last year, I'm really looking forward to Arsenal this year. You know, I think they should, you know, they could finish in the top four.
Quick line on Crystal Palace, Rob, before we move on. I think we all know that...
it's been a tough time, hasn't it, for Patrick? And the team.
Yeah, he didn't have an ideal pre-season.
No.
A lot of his players, through entry requirements, couldn't go on the pre-season trip to Australia. Yeah. They're playing in different games at the same time. They came back together. I think they only trained about a week before the season started. So, and I think Vieira needs a couple of two or three new players.
Yeah, he's talked about one or two players in the window, hasn't he, before the window shut. So I think they'll be fine. You see moments of good play and chances and the likes of Eze putting one of those chances away might have made it very different, as you say. But good start for Arsenal, good win to get them going and kicks off this season. Let's move it to the other North London team, because I know there's a lot of excitement on this side of the city. Tottenham went 1-0 down, and days gone by, 1-0 down to Tottenham might have meant a poor result, but it wasn't the case. Tottenham 4, Southampton 1. Antonio Conte, and I know you talked about him in our preview as the team that might get closest to the top two.
Yep.
Happy enough with that first day?
Yeah. I think that the word that sums that up was strong. Just strong. Strong performance. Now, you know, they're very different to who they're going to play next weekend, Chelsea. We're going to talk about Chelsea next, but, you know, it's a little slower. They don't mess around. They don't mess around. It's get the ball forward, get it wide, and spin those crosses in. Kulusevski, that's as good as I've ever seen him play, by the way.
Yeah.
Scores, he assists with an incredible ball into the other to the other side of the wing-back, Sessegnon scoring a goal. And then, of course, he scores himself. I mean, we know that Richarlison's gone there. We know that he's back from suspension, I believe, next time. But Kulusevski, I thought, was a star. But just in general, the way that they played, simple, effective, asked questions of defenders, and very strong. And of course, the new players we're going to see more of. We're going to see more of Yves Bissouma that came in, Rob, later on.
Yeah.
Ivan Perisic came in later on. So he fair play to Conte, Rob. He allowed the players that got him into the top four. You crack on. You did a good job last year.
Yeah.
And you do that. I thought they were very impressive.
Yeah. I couldn't disagree. Going 1-0 down, and it didn't look like there was ever kind of any pressure on them. You see on Manchester United go 1-0 down today, and now it upset their flow and the way they play. But Spurs have got a real bit of buzz about them. And I'm going to have my underappreciated performer of the week, a wing-back who's played for Tottenham, Rob, who's been at the football club since 2019. I think it was for a fee of around $40 million. He's 22 years old, and he's Ryan Sessegnon. And he's a player, Rob, who, I think he came under the Pochettino era. Obviously, we've had Jose, we've had Nuno. He's not really been part of things. Conte's made a few comments about him towards the end of last season, saying he thinks he's a player in there. I watched him in the summer. I took a note of he came in early for pre-season, about 3 weeks earlier than everybody else, Rob. Went with a strength and conditioning guy, did some work. Went with a boxing trainer, did some work.
It's brave to come into a Conte pre-season early, blimey.
Yeah, went to an athletic camp and did some work. Didn't want to get injuries, wanted to be fit, wanted to start the season well. Got his first Premier League goal for Spurs, coming on that great ball that he said by Kulusevski. Kulusevski would have been my underappreciated, but I'm not sure he's that underappreciated anymore.
Yeah.
But Ryan Sessegnon, you know, might be a really important piece of the jigsaw for Antonio Conte. And I just remember, Rob, Antonio Conte's Chelsea team, and there was a player there called Victor Moses, who was a bit of a in-and-out player until Conte get there. And Conte turned him into a Premier League winner. Mm. I just think that Ryan Sessegnon could this season become that young guy.
The only surprising thing you just said, Rob, that he's only 22. Like, wow. Yeah. He seems he's been...
He got into Fulham's first team at 16 years of age.
Yeah.
You know, he's one of the youngest ever to play in the Championship.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he's 22 years of age.
And we know that Antonio Conte's team's... he really likes wide play, and
yeah,
I just made
play,
a ton of notes on my game sheet during a game. Mm-hmm. Say, wow, this wide play, you know, these set patterns that he puts in place
both
in pre-season.
Sides, wasn't it?
Yeah, both sides and the ball come in very quickly. Yeah, I thought it was very, very good. I thought they were very dominant, strong, and talk about a player that stepped up, and you're underappreciated in Sessegnon with Ivan Perisic. He's just going to play.
Yeah.
He's going to play soon. Another really good acquisition. So, no, Southampton, Rob, I think have got problems. They've backed young signings, and I kind of like that. I like the kid Romeo Lavia, 18 years of age, as a number six, the holding midfield player. I thought he looked very good, number 45 on the day. But the three at the back didn't particularly work. I think the striking situation is an issue. Of course, Armando Broja was there last year. He've lost him back to Chelsea. He goes back to his parent club. They are. I think going to be in trouble. I think it's going to be a difficult season for them.
Yeah, I've got them down as one of my teams that possibly get relegated. And you know, I think there was evidence there that, you know, unless they get it right, unless they tighten things up at the back, it's going to be a difficult season. Ralph Hartnell, there was a couple of shots on him, weren't there, with his hand in his head, he was shaking and talking to his staff as though he's going to know they can't afford to make the kind of mistakes and being as naive as they are against some of the teams in the Premier League. But a great start for Tottenham, great start for Antonio Conte, who've got a big game next week. We'll talk about that preview next week. And when they go to Chelsea, which I'm sure is going to be a much bigger test. But perfect start for Tottenham Hotspur. I think someone said their best result since mid-1980s in the top league. 4-1 win to start. Yeah, so good start. Everything going well.
There are any number of reasons you might consider selling your home. To move closer to family, live within a smaller budget, or just wanting a change of scenery. Whatever your reasons, having to figure out all the various housing market trends in your area may not be what you signed up for. That's where an agent who is a Realtor comes in. Realtors have the expertise to help you find the right price and navigate the process to sell your home in a way that's right for you. That's who we are. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors.
The Spurs. Let's finish off with Everton playing Chelsea. So the Frank Lampard derby, I think they call this one. Everton 0, Chelsea 1. Not a classic, mate, by any means. Mm. Two teams are still, I think, trying to sort out their identity, look to bring players in to you know, get over one or two injuries and issues in the football club. Chelsea did enough, just good enough to take all 3 points.
Yeah, just good enough. I mean, it gets their play relies on patience, doesn't it? I mean, I've said this nearly every week. I seem to say about Chelsea, they're so slow, but that's the way they control things. That's the way they stop their opponents kind of getting a foothold in the game. I thought Raheem Sterling played well, Rob. You know, I didn't expect him to start as a central player, but he did
central
as a false
striker,
nine.
Yeah.
Havertz was to his left and Mason Mount was to his right. I thought Havertz and Mason Mount were particularly quiet in the game.
Yeah.
Sterling dropped in, got loads of the ball. They need to work on what comes after that, in my opinion. We did a little tactics session. We talked about it a little bit, me with Tim Howard there. So I know the team is evolving, Rob. I know they're looking for new players. We saw Armando Broja come into the game later on, Loftus-Cheek. And I think Christian Pulisic doesn't You know, yeah. I said, it gets a bit of a rough ride, Rob. I mean, how long is Kai Havertz going to be continue to be trusted as a starting player when it's another performance that he didn't affect the game?
It's an interesting one. I just want to, and I did write a little note because I know you put it out there, and I think one or two of English press picked up this or said, like, you know, Pulisic needs to be knocking on the manager's door and asking a question. And that's not in a disrespectful way for Pulisic, just to be saying, hold on, you know, you feel he's in a position now to ask when he's going to get at the store. And it got me thinking a little bit about Pulisic, Rob. And part of me thought, I think I looked at his numbers, he's had 75 appearances for Chelsea. I think that's all comps. He's got 19 goals. He's 23 years of age. He's the American captain. You know, he's going to go into a World Cup coming up. He's going to have a huge World Cup in 4 years' time, and he's right in his prime. Is there a point, Rob, where, like, if I'm Christian Pulisic, I think I'm asking myself, why am I not getting in? And if I'm not, Rob, I think I'd be asking to go out on loan. If you're Romelu Lukaku, somehow Lukaku didn't play and they'd get him out on loan, or, you know, others have been, the Gallaghers have been out on loan and that. If I'm Christian Pulisic and I don't think there's a lack of trust or there's a lack of something in Pulisic to start, whether the manager thinks he's a sub coming on and all that. But if not, Rob, I'd be asking to go and play. I'd go and play at Everton. I'd go and play at Newcastle if they have me. I'd go and play at West Ham. I'd go and play at Brighton. I'd go and play some football.
Totally agree. And I don't know whether it should be on loan. Because as long as Thomas Tuchel's there, from day one, Pulisic was always thought to have been, well, you know, I've seen what he's like off the bench. Maybe he doesn't do him any favours, but I like his impact off the bench. And he's never been a starting one of the first few players on the team sheet. I think you make a good point. He's been there a few seasons now. He's still at a brilliant age as a footballer. He came into the game and looked bright and looked lively. You know, maybe he hasn't done enough when he's had starts, but it's not as though he gets much wiggle room. He have a two or three bad games and he's out of the side with the other options that they've got there. So yeah, if you're many other teams in the Premier League, Rob, whether it's on loan or whether go and buy him. We've talked about Manchester United looking at Marco and Arnautovic. You know, like some of the ones that you've mentioned, Rob, Newcastle and Villa, and I know lots of other teams that he could use playing. He needs to play regularly for the World Cup. Instead of these little cameos off the bench. So it's something that I
always feel with Pulisic, and this is sometimes true of small quick players. For some reason, you always think, oh, they're young, oh, they don't really get it. Oh, I don't know, if you're 6'2" and you're a midfield player and then holding, you're like, oh, yeah, you know, we've got to play him. No, Pulisic always feels like he's the kid. The kid will be okay. Let's put him on the bench and then we'll bring him on.
The gravitas at the club, the respect of the
correct.
Club.
Correct. Yeah. Correct. Absolutely. But it's going to be an important time for him coming up, big few weeks. And, you know, maybe Tuchel wants to keep holding him because he is a great player to come off the bench and make things happen. But from Christian Pulisic's point of view, I'm sure he's going to want some regular football between now and then. Okay, mate, let's wrap things up with a few other results. Bournemouth got a great result against Aston Villa. Scotty Parker against Steven Gerrard. Poor start for Villa, that. Steven Gerrard would be a bit worried about that one, Rob.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think it's of the other results. It's like, wow, okay. Like Bournemouth, I mean, Villa was okay last year, and the initial excitement of Steven Gerrard was strong, and Coutinho, et cetera, et cetera. But there is a little bit of expectation now, Rob, that this club spent a lot of money over the last couple of years, two or 3 years. And, you know, the Villa fans will expect a top 10, a top 8 finish for Aston Villa this season. That's an eyebrow raiser. I did, because a lot of these games go on at the same time. We're in the studio, we got all the games up and stuff, and I did look a lot at Leeds. Leeds Wolves looked like a brilliant game. A lot of talent out there. I look at Pedro Neto, Neto's ball for Pudence's goal. Neto's little double drag back skill between the two players, if you haven't seen that, look for it. Neto, against Leeds United. Brendan Aaronson, the new signing, Rob. Good money, looks sharp.
Nice
thought
finish,
he got a goal,
yeah.
but it ended up being an own goal. The energy is at Leeds United, Elland Road. The freshness is there. Patrick Bamford looking good. It kind of feels good right now.
Yeah.
Super early, of course. But if this group can stay fit, I mean, Leeds have had injury problems for it seems like
yeah,
since they've been back in the
forever,
top flight.
Yeah.
But no, good day for Jesse March. The little altercation at the end, Rob, was a chuckle. Yeah. Did you see that?
It was interesting, wasn't
Bruno
it?
Yeah, Large and
Bruno did down, and Jesse, apparently there was words said in the first half, and Bruno didn't like it. That, you know, Jesse only said something at the end because he'd won and thought they should have apologised at the time.
Listen,
you've got to do that, but you've got to stand your ground sometimes as a manager in the Premier League. It was good to see Jesse Marsh holding his own. And at the end, he did pay respect to Bruno and said he admires what he's done and how his team plays. So, good start for Leeds. Another good start for Newcastle as well, Rob. They're sort of forming. 2022 continues. I think it's only the top three now, is it? Have one more point in the calendar year. Spurs, Liverpool and Man City. Wow. The only three teams have got more points in the calendar year than Newcastle. And again, it took a while. Fabian Schär with a smash from distance. And then usual Callum Wilson. I think that's four seasons straight now. He scored on the first day. But Newcastle getting the win. They'll be better and they'll probably look to add one or two more into their pot. Nottingham Forest, a little disappointing for me, Rob. I didn't think there's no shots on target, little flimsy. I know they've got so many players they're trying to mould into a group and bed in. So, obviously, you know, we'll see how that goes over weeks. But thought they might have maybe looked to maybe nick a draw out of that one.
Yeah, I mean, that's a game I'm going to have to watch over the next few days to get a good sense of Nottingham Forest. We didn't have them as one of our key games that we focus on this weekend. I think we are next weekend. I think Forest are being featured, Rob. I know you're back in the studio next weekend. So that's a game that I'll go back and watch. I'll also probably go back and watch Brentford and Leicester. Our eyes are on the other game from today.
I
saw Leicester cruising. I get the goal. Lovely Dewsbury Hall again. Looks like a player. And then Brentford came powerfully steaming back with a couple of goals themselves. So Josh De Silva's lovely left foot curler into the far corner. Ivan Toney, of course, getting the first one. So interesting. It's going to be an interesting season with Brendan Rodgers, Rob, at Leicester City. We know they need to balance the books a little bit, and which gets all the big clubs. Well, hang on a minute.
Interesting few weeks for Leicester.
I like him.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's get to the end of this month and let's see what they've got in. Still in the team, then I think it's going to be a case for Leicester. But as ever, mate, action-packed weekend. I think that wrapped it up for the first week in the Premier League. No doubt the best league in the world is back here for your entertainment. We're going to be back next Sunday, that's August the 14th, when we'll look back at match week two, taking in the big games of next weekend, including the real big one, Chelsea hosting Tottenham at the Bridge. But for now, I'm Earl. He's Musty, together with the two Robbies. Thanks for watching and listening. Be safe, stay healthy. It's great to be back with the Premier League. It's a good night from me.
And it's good night from him. Good night.
Good night.
A lot can happen between falling in love with a house online and owning it. Between imagining living there and breathing in your new home for the first time. Having an advocate who can help you navigate the complex world of financing, inspections, negotiating, analyzing the market, and talking through any anxieties that may pop up, that can make all the difference. That's what the expertise of a Realtor can do for you. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors and bound by a code of ethics. Because that's who we are.